Well, Chad, that sounds like a little bit of magic there to me. And, I mean, that's what we all have to call things we don't really understand. But I'll tell you this, it is, when human beings don't have a word for things, don't have a clear understanding of things, we sometimes have words that catch on. And this, you've heard people say, well, it just clicked. It just clicked. And that's what some would say. And I don't have to agree that the two of you clicked. But it might go to this. You didn't have, and I'm trying to fit together a few things that I'm struggling with here in my head. One is why he was refused by two other service members. It just wasn't right, I suppose. And it could just come down to expectations. I think animals have expectations too, and I know humans do. If you have expectations that exceed the people around you, there'll always be friction. There'll always be misunderstandings and animosity even. People just won't get along. But it seemed that you two had expectations that balanced. And I'm just proud you told me that story. That just made it that much larger. Thank you. KK4JBQ.
We validated with another soldier and his dog. The other soldier had a TBI. He had a mild TBI, but a TBI nonetheless. And the TBI dogs they've got about 80 tasks that they have to go through. So we were validated. The four of us were validated together. Now, when me and Casey completed our tasks, then the TBI soldier and his dog, they went on to do the other 30 tasks or whatever, and we just kind of sat back and watched. But that was an amazing thing to see. Larry, I've never seen anything like that with a dog, and how they train these dogs to do this stuff, I have no idea. But with TBI soldiers, they typically have seizures, and a part of the TBI validation was we went to Lowe's in North Carolina. You have to go out in a public place and interact with other people. That's part of the training process. So we went to Lowe's in North Carolina. Anyway, it's not important, but the soldier had to lay down in the floor at Lowe's like he was having a seizure. And the dog had 3 minutes to complete a certain number of tasks. So the deal was for the soldier to simulate him having a seizure in a public place. And the dog had 3 minutes to complete his tasks, which he failed the first time, but he did it the second time. He didn't fail to do the task, he failed the time. But, so the soldier lays down, and the dog had to try to rouse the soldier. He would poke with his nose, he would lick him in the face. If those did not work and had to do in order, now, he was trained to bite the soldier in specific spots, in specific ways, to try to get the soldier up. So have you ever seen a dog flea bite, which is they try to bite a flea with their front teeth? They kind of pinch. They don't use their canines. They just use their front teeth to try to get that flea. Well, that was, so he licked him in the face, rooted at him, and then if that didn't work, then he had to flea bite him on the inside of his arm, where the tender skin is under your arm, to try to rouse him. If that didn't work, then he had to bark to try to get him up. If that didn't work, then he had to stand off 10 to 15 feet from the soldier and just bark and bark and bark and bark until another human came to investigate what was happening, which he did. I mean, he did it the first time, just not on time. But, you think about that for a minute. That was 5 tasks out of 80 that he had to complete. I mean, goodness gracious. And it wasn't until then that I realized why they were hesitant about giving me the dog. Because if he's physically not able to do the tasks, then that can be dangerous. And not good for business. So I did not realize how important it was for them, or understand that viewpoint of it until, you know, we went through the validation training. But we didn't have any issues. I mean, we completed all our tasks, but not the first issue. I mean, he just did everything he was supposed to do. Simple things, you know, things that you wouldn't think of, but he had to do nonetheless. And half of it was on him, and half of it was on me. I got graded too on, you know, I messed up more than he did, really. I got trained the week I spent up there. But just, you know, simple things like we had to go, you got to go to a buffet lunch, and he has to react a certain way to a buffet line. He cannot nose up to the food. He cannot jump up on a food buffet line. He has to actually drop his head, because that makes other customers uncomfortable. So, and he has to park, which means he sits under the table. He cannot sit out in a walkway. He has to sit under the table. Which he doesn't do very well, because, I mean, my gosh, he's 92 pounds. Come on. So, that kind of stuff. They had to walk through a door with a doorknob. We had to walk through double doors. We had to walk through a revolving door. We had to go up steps. We had to go up an escalator. Those kind of validation things. You know, that you just don't think about. And I failed. We went to a barbecue place in North Carolina. Hang on, Larry. Doors. And we went through the double doors, and I didn't hold the doors open long enough, because he's a long dog. From tip to stern, he's probably 6 feet from tip of tail. And the doors closed. I let the double doors close on his tail, and failed. I mean, it didn't hurt him. He yelped, but failed and had to start validation all over again. But I mean that's a standard they gotta meet. I get it, you know. But just an interesting process, and it's been, I don't know, we just kind of weathered and aged together. You know, he's fat and slow, I'm fat and slow, and he's getting gray around the muzzle, and you know, just a perfect fit, I guess. KO4NUV, KK4JBQ.
For JBQ. Yeah, well, this is a lot more than I was aware of. I mean, I was a pretty faithful watcher of The Dog Whisperer. Remember that show? It's Cesar Milano. I think that was his name. Really understood the psyche of the dog and understood what they were capable of. That's really the challenge for the human being. Just know the dog well enough to know what he's capable of. It's a tremendous amount of that they understand. And I'll tell you the truth, as you were telling me that, there are people that can't respond to a situation like that appropriately. There are people who would freeze and not be able to seek help. Just free, you know, because we are so full of all kinds of mixed up emotions and everything. And, you know, in addition, we don't get the special training, you know, most of us don't. And I have been in places, and I know you have, where I come upon something that is horrible, and something takes over inside of me. I push on through. I know what, I keep right in front of me like a thing. I keep right in front of me what I need to do, and I push right through it. Otherwise, I'd be overcome with the shock. You know, I don't want to go into detail about that, but I mean, that's what humans have to do, because we internalize so much and we think 500 miles an hour and get all jumbled up. I should think that a well-trained dog they wouldn't have that much to fight against. You know, they just follow their training. And human beings can be trained too. You know that. And it is for the same reason, so that you don't get all mixed up at a critical moment. Am I right?
All right. You get the nail on the head. You just have to put blinders on. And, you know, I remember one thing that stuck out in my mind. So when we went to Iraq on a second tour, we went to a Moog station and stayed there for 30, 45 days doing theater-specific training on top of the, you know, the basic in MOS. And you know, certain ranks had certain responsibilities or certain training they had to do, and you know, the usually the first sergeant commander were exempt from, you know, all of the soldier training, the grunt work, that kind of stuff, you know. But I did not. I everything that my soldiers trained on, I trained on. If they, you know, if they had KP duty, or I had to give them KP duty or latrine duty, I made sure they saw me sling a mop first, or they saw me do KP first. Then they got assigned their duties. So we spent 45 days at Camp Chubb, Mississippi, and one of the things that I opted to do was go through the training for Combat Lifesaver, which is just basic life-saving training. It's, you know, nothing doctor or nurse level. It's just when you have a traumatic injury, this is what you do. And one thing that sticks out in my mind that I won't ever forget, which is correct, is that, you know, if the person is hurt and is conscious, the first thing that you tell them, I don't think civilian doctors or nurses do this, but the training I got was, pain is your problem. It's not my problem. It's your problem. I'm trying to help you, and I am going to help you. But that may mean I have to look at it, I have to move it, I might have to manipulate the wound, whatever. But whatever pain you have because of that, that's your problem, not mine. And I'm not going to, don't listen to it. Just do what you got to do. Because, you know, you're not trying to cause things to be worse. You're trying to help. And when, you know, people start hollering and screaming, you know, they do strange things, very strange things. And some of them can be dangerous. So, you know, secure the weapon and then you treat. And, you know, there's a reason for that. And you're exactly right. I don't think I'll ever forget that portion of the training. But, you know, at any rate, so that's how Casey got here, and you're pretty much on track. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ.
Chad, this is more than I paid for. you've given me a lot. And, I mean, right up front, of course, but a lot to think about also. And, you know, I'm glad you could talk to me about such things. And, because it's, you know, you should try, I think, in this life to deal with people that make you feel good. Good about yourself, good about how you're living your life, maybe. I don't know. But that's how I feel, you know. It's a good thing. This is a good thing. And it's kind of a privilege, in a way. This kind of interaction is not something you can walk up to somebody and ask for. It's a blessing. That's what it is. And so I'll take it as such. Listen, I think it's, I heard Anna when she said, don't you be long. And so I'm going to hit the sack and get a little shut-eye. I don't know what kind of day you got planned tomorrow, but it's probably a big one. You get yourself a good night's rest. And I'll be saying 7-3 to you. Thank you, Chad. KK4JBQ.
Deal, Larry. 7-3. It is getting late, and I appreciate the conversation. And but one more thing, I sent you an email about 2.5 hours ago. I just want to check with you and see if you got that. And I'm not sure I want to discuss that on the radio, but I'll discuss it with you on the phone. And there's reasons for that. I'm assuming if you open the email and read it, you'll kind of know why. But I just want to check with you and see if you did receive the email.
What? Have anything to do with bylaws?
If.
I'm looking at an older email here. I'll look in a different place. Email I show coming to my Gmail account.
is from yesterday. Nothing from this evening.
Stand by 1 second. I'm going to resend. I just want to make sure you get it. It's kind of important to me, so just give me just a minute, Larry. I just resent to your email. And, you know, just I'll talk with you about it on the phone. I just wanted you to take a look at the document and just letting you know. In other words, just giving you notification that that has happened. Let me know if you got it.
Okay, yeah, okay. This is no subject, and I believe I got it. It's very small print, so I have to put on my reading glasses to see this. Is it an affirmative? Is that what I take from this?
And when you get a chance, read the fine print. No, not the fine print, but the smaller print. But just going to let you know that, you know, I did receive a notification today. So, at any rate, all right. Well, I'll let you go. It's time to bed down, I guess. But I'll give you a holler later on, and we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it then. But tell Miss Donna I said hello, and appreciate the QSO. I'm going to say 7-3s to you, sir, and you have a wonderful day tomorrow. This is Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo. I am clear and going to secure my station. Have a wonderful night, Larry.
4NUE, KK4JBQ. Sleep tight. 7-3. I'm clear.